Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CacheFly.com. CashFly.
This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 51 for June 21st, 2008. Peppers and Pollywogs.
Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations.
It's time for Jumping Monkeys, the show that brings you monkeys jumping. And ladies and gentlemen, the star of your show, Ms. Megan Maroney.
I thought you were the star of the show,
yes.
Mr. Leo Laporte.
I am the co-star.
I'm your handy sidekick.
No, you're the star of the show.
Oh.
This is your show. You're
my sidekick?
Yeah. Watch.
Awesome.
Watch, just tell a joke. You are right, madam. See, I'm the sidekick.
You didn't wait for me to tell a joke, though.
No, sidekicks don't really need the joke. It's not...
Today we're going to talk to Lisa Kathari. She runs a site called Peppers and Pollywogs.
I like the name.
Yeah, she's going to tell us all about how to use the internet to plan your kid's birthday party, how to plan your kid's birthday party on a shoestring budget, recession-proof birthday parties, she calls them, and she'll also hopefully tell us some of the worst kid's birthday party mistakes that you or
the
I
worst.
Could make.
I've made them all, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. So before she calls, she's going to call in a few minutes, so we'll maybe do the spend, save, give after she calls, but we don't want to rush through it. I wanted to mention this link in the New York Times, an article called So Young and So Gadgeted. Are you familiar with Piaget?
I am very familiar with the educational theories of Siegfried Piaget of Belgium. No, that was the one where kids can learn only certain things at certain ages.
Right.
So there's just cognitive capabilities.
Jean Piaget.
Jean Piaget.
He's Swiss.
I was close.
Was Swiss.
Belgium, Swiss, whatever.
So this article was by Warren Buckleitner, and he talks about the Piaget stages of cognitive development and how they relate to gadgets.
So,
it was pretty interesting. So, like, ages 0 to 2, babies and toddlers. This is Piaget's first stage. It's sensory motor. With an I. No, you know, no Y in there. It's one word.
Sensorimeter.
So it says flat monitors do not offer much of in the way of stimulation.
You need a brain tonic.
Stimulization is a good word I just made up.
Stimulization.
Don't you think?
I think there's a stimulizer.
So he talks about the busy box, which you're always talking about. Right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yes. They can't, like, a screen is no good for 0 to 2. A busy box, something with lights.
I completely agree with that. Sensorily deprived is how I always thought of. A kid too young using a computer, you're missing out on the gross motor skills. You're missing out on fresh air, grass, dirt. And I agree with that 100%.
Right. So then ages 3 to 5, that's the second stage. That's when kids are imitating their parents. This is the pre-operational stage, Piaget's pre-operational stage.
Okay.
And that's when they play with pretend cell phones as if they were the real thing, that kind of thing.
They put peanut butter and jelly in the CD-ROM drive.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Yeah. I'm going to kick your butt stage.
So it's pretty interesting because they have, you know, New York Times has listed some things that are good for each stage. Nickelodeon's Noggin. And I didn't know this. For $10 a month, you can, they remove the ads. So Noggin is actually...
See, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Is Noggin it's a TV channel?
TV show, yeah.
But they don't remove the ads from the TV.
No, this is on the website. They're suggesting websites that kids, because 3 to 5 kids can start using the web.
I'd pay $10 a month to remove the ads from the TV.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a good idea?
That would be.
Yeah.
I think that's called HBO, which is actually $60 a month, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little more expensive. That's true.
It goes to then 6 to 11 and ages 12 and up. all these stages. And I thought that was pretty interesting because we're always kind of guessing about what age we think kids should start using computers or, you know, and this is sort of, this is just one, you know, one Swiss psychologist's opinion.
Well, he's pretty well known. I mean, he's...
Well, he wasn't saying, you know, this is the stage you should get a...
He didn't mention websites,
no,
Piaget.
No, but, and he says... It says if Piaget were alive today, he would probably advise parents that for a young child, everything, whether it has batteries or not, is a discovery waiting to happen.
Well, that's neat.
Yeah.
I think Buckleitner runs some sort of a site around this idea.
Oh, he does?
I may be wrong.
I don't know.
Let me see. This Children's Technology Review, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
We should have that guy on.
He would be, it's childrensoftware.com. And he does exactly this. He talks about what, you know, what's appropriate for kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah. Another good idea for college-bound children like yours, suggesting they use Google Page Creator. You know, it's just
to make
part
a
of
website.
Their,
yeah.
That has all of their portfolios in it.
Oh, very good
their,
idea.
To give to college admissions.
Although I have to say... Well, yeah, you're right. If they're applying for a computer science job, that's probably not the right thing.
But
but if they're just, you know, here's what I did.
Yeah, no, like here's my art, here's my photography, here's my writing, if they're applying for a computer science degree, yeah, maybe they should create their website on their own. But
no, that's actually a really good idea. I have to think for Abby, I think, to start putting her stuff on the web.
Right.
And then refer it to schools and stuff. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So
do you think college admissions officers look at that kind of thing?
Well, you know, we've heard that they look at people's MySpace pages, so they would probably look. I mean, if they have time to do that, then I'm guessing they would.
I don't think it's about time, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got time to do that.
So there you go. And now
so,
is our
let's
phone...
Get her, let's get her... Is he calling on the phone?
She is calling on the phone.
We should say you can call us on the phone at 707-981-4602. That's a Grand Central number, and when you call us on that number, you can leave a message, and we actually have a number of messages for today's show.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's fun
That's
when
good
you
to
do
know.
That. And you you sent us a recording.
Yes.
Somebody sent you a recording.
Yeah. Someone's interested in the one laptop per child, and you can send a recording to megan@twit.tv.
Very cool. Hey, before we go much further, I think our guest is on the line. Lisa Kotari is with the website Peppers and Pollywogs. It's pepperspollywogs.com. And she is an expert on party planning on a shoestring. Hello, Lisa.
Thanks for coming on Jumping Monkeys, Lisa. So what is Peppers and Pollywogs all about?
Peppers and Pollywogs is all about kids' parties. It's a web-based business that is really about helping parents plan great kids' parties no matter how much money or time they've got. And it's a web-based business, so it's really about streamlining kids' birthday party planning as well. Just as a rundown, the site offers over 1,200 articles on kids' party planning, and it covers the gamut, everything from, you know, what's hot and trendy today to cool themes to etiquette, questions and answers. Like anything about kids' parties is on that Party Ideas blog. But then we also offer entertainers and party venue places to hold kids' parties or to have entertainers at your kids' parties. And those profiles are actually set up to answer parents' questions that they have on their mind when they're looking to hire an entertainer or a party venue for their kids' parties.
Okay.
So it really makes it much easier. And then we also offer poets to write rhymes for kids' party invitations or thank you notes, as well as customizable little cards for party invitations or thank you notes that can be printed off for a flat fee, as many as they want.
How did you get in this business? Were you a mom and doing your own parties? Or?
No, actually I was a nanny in Washington, D.C., and I saw a lot of over-the-top kids' parties being done. And I wondered, well, is anyone trying to help those parents? And lo and behold, no one was. So I put out a flyer, and basically people started calling. And it was such a viral, you know, marketing effort, actually, at that point. The internet really wasn't there for people to use, so it just spread word of mouth throughout the community.
So what are some of the worst over-the-top parties that you've seen?
Oh, I've seen it. I've done and seen a couple. One was a whole jungle theme party where I created a rainforest out of the backyard of someone's home.
Wow.
It was
amazing. What's wrong with that?
It was just, it was really over the top, but it was amazingly cool. Another one was a camping party where they actually had the kids at the house go to camp, and you had little backpacks and badges and, you know, canoeing and just everything that you'd find in a camp at this kid's birthday party. So pretty extravagant for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But lots of fun for the kids.
So is this for all ages of parties or just mostly for younger kids?
My website is for all from 0 to 18.
Uh-huh.
So wait a minute. Who's going to throw a party for an 18-year-old?
Oh, the graduation party season.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking? Of course. Yeah, you got to. We just threw a party for our 16-year-old, and mm-hmm. I don't know if it was over the top. We rented a few cabins at the local KOA, Campground of America place.
Okay.
And then just all her friends came, and then she said, "Mom, Dad, get lost."
That's right. They don't really want you hanging around.
All they want is the checkbook. They don't want anything else.
Did you get lost?
Well, no, we're not going to get lost. There's teenage boys there.
You got to supervise.
So what we did is we rented a cabin at a discreet distance. We retired to this cabin at a discreet distance. But Jennifer, it was kind of funny. Every half hour, she'd go, "I can't stand it." She'd take a walk and kind of she'd have to sneak around a little bit. But she also is smart, so she talked to people in the other camp sites near this and said, "Oh, hi, I want to warn you, but if they get out of hand or anything, here's my cell phone number. If anything goes wrong, we'll be in this camp." So we had spies all over.
Oh, okay.
We were well prepared for this one. I mean, but you have to do that. You have to strategize, don't you?
Because
a teenager doesn't want
to. Especially at that age, 16, 18,
they don't want
14.
They don't want to have
anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So one of the things we've talked on the show a lot about is the kind of over-the-top gift-giving that we see at birthday parties, and just the fact that I don't mind giving gifts, but I hate getting them. Like, I hate getting them when my kids have parties because it is often just a bunch of stuff they don't need or want.
And also with the amount of parties that are being held, I mean, you're probably inviting more than a couple of kids to your party, so you're probably getting maybe 20 gifts on one day, and it is just a massive amount of stuff. And so that's why there is this trend of no gift parties that's happening these days.
I love it.
But how do you do that? Because I find it really difficult because people like to bring gifts. And even if you say don't bring gifts, some people bring them anyway. And the people who didn't feel bad.
Exactly. And it leads to a really awkward situation because it's so ingrained in society to bring a gift to a kid's party.
Right.
And that's why that problem arises. You know, I think there's a couple of better options out there to help parents with this. One is, if you're worried about extravagance of people bringing extravagant gifts to your kid's party, you know, say on the invitation, you know, gifts under $10 would be appreciated. You know, just put it right out there that you're looking for, you know, inexpensive items for your child.
Isn't it true, though, that when you do that, everybody goes, "Oh, they're saying that, but they don't actually believe that."
I don't know. I think with the number of parties that kids are going to these days, I think it actually takes some pressure off of parents actually just give that guideline. And also when those RSVPs roll around and you have the chance to have a conversation with the parent, you know, the guest's parent, you can really have that conversation and say, you know, "I hope you took note of the fact that we're really only looking for, you know, gifts that are really modest and under $5 or $10, you know, and just reiterate it at that point. I think that can also help that along.
Yeah, that's what I find. You know, when people call and they say, "Well, what is she like? What does she want?" I just feel like I feel awkward answering that question because I just want to say, like, "Don't bring anything." But then,
right? And another way to handle that, because it is so ingrained in society to bring something to a kid's party, well, then give them something to bring. Say, "You know what? What is our family's favorite charity?" Or maybe we're having a doggy theme party and we want to give stuff to the local ASPCA or Humane Society, and put on your party invitation, you know, "Items for the local Humane Society would be greatly appreciated in lieu of gifts." Because then people are still bringing something to the party, so they're getting to do that. And you're also not getting a bunch of stuff that you don't want at the party. And you also are instilling a philanthropic lesson to the child, your child, to give something at their party time.
Right.
So it works on three different levels there.
So is it, what's the etiquette on using Evite or some other kind of like electronic invitation?
So I think it's perfectly acceptable, especially for the first birthday when it's mainly going to be adults who are going to be attending. People are using e-invitations. It's green, you know, very, very eco-friendly. It's easy and convenient because everyone has email these days.
Mm-hmm.
Also, for like those tween and teen parties, they're also, you know, they'll probably just text message the details to their friends. I mean, that's
really
another,
true.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Another, you know, place where it's really, you know, really good place to do it. Places, I think the younger kids, the 3 to 5-year-olds and then the school age set, that's a time where parents often like to get creative with their party invitations. So they may be even hand delivering fun invitations to get the guests into the mood of the party. So you don't often see...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, you don't often see e-invitations for those ages.
Mm-hmm.
And also, people a lot of times like to take that invitation and just stick it up on the refrigerator for a reminder.
Yeah, that's the problem yeah. that I have. I've mm-hmm. been invited to some kids' parties that were e-vites, and I forgot about them because
that's right.
it's not on the refrigerator.
That's right, exactly. So that's why for school age and the younger kids, the 3 to 5-year-olds up through school age, it's not really done. But for ones that are mainly adults, and also the tweens and teens, I think it's perfectly acceptable and it's a very equal friendly way to go.
Mm-hmm. So what are some pitfalls that parents should avoid when they're planning their kid's birthday party?
Well, I think people need to think through, you know, what is their budget? What is their time allotment? Get that in their mind. And where do they want to have this party? Is it something that they want to do at their home this year, or is it something that they want to take out to another place, like a bowling alley or a rock climbing center? You know, get that all straight in your mind, and then ask your child, okay, it's your birthday coming up, and provide those parameters to your child. Okay, this is, you know, we're going to do it outside the home, or we're going to do it inside the home this year. And then get them starting to think about their theme and get excited, but they're doing it off of your parameters that you've set, not kind of letting them set, you know, well, it's going to be 100 kids and this and that. You know, definitely have it in mind what you want to do, and then, you know, work with your child to plan that party.
And as D.K. Naughton says in our chat room, avoid clowns at all costs. No, that's being – because kids like clowns. But I have to say we once had a clown that didn't go over so well. So.
And they can also be very scary for young children.
Yeah, the right age. The age is important.
Mm-hmm.
The age is very important, and also the type of clown, and that you vetted that entertainer so you know. You maybe even went and saw him or her perform somewhere else, so you know.
That's where we went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We had Flutter by the clown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Should have vetted her.
It wasn't Butterball?
Should have vetted her.
Not Butterball. Is Butterball the current
Petaluma
clown?
Butterball's the cool Petaluma clown. I've seen her.
So you have on your site, Lisa, you have referrals for entertainers. Where do you get those from?
Mm-hmm. So we have entertainers who apply to be a part of our website, and it's actually a marketing platform for these entertainers. But we do vet them as well, as far as, you know, are they in business? What type of business are they doing? What have they done? And then if we feel like they are, you know, something, you know, really quite good for parents to find out about, we do place their profile on our website. And then you can see we have a lot of customer reviews as well, you know, chiming in about what they thought. And I think that really helps parents when they're choosing that entertainer to hear that other parents, you know, what was their experience with this entertainer.
We have, a mom in the chat room, Marissa Goldmark, who says face painting and face painters are cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think balloon folding is always good.
And one thing with face painters,
Megan made a face.
No? Balloon folding?
Balloon animals.
Oh, balloon.
Oh, yeah, the balloon animals.
Yes,
the clowns often
do
that. But the face painting, if you want a little less expensive idea than a traditional, like, full-on face painter, you know, have your local babysitter, you know, do the
Anybody
face painting.
Can do
it's a
face
lot more, yeah, it's a lot more, you know, economical, and you're getting the same thing, and kids do love it.
Was that your specialty as a nanny, Lisa?
No.
So what are some other ways parents can cut costs?
I think you can get rid of the goodie bag.
I was going to ask you, because I hate the gall darn goodie bag. That has talk about escalation.
Well, and the goodie bag is all about, to a large part, it's all about, you know, sort of making kids feel, you know, okay because they didn't get a bunch of gifts, so, you know, here's something for you as well, and making them not have hurt feelings. Well, you know, quite frankly, the birthday is about the birthday child.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, you know, letting kids, you know, understand that is one thing that needs to happen. But let's face it, when your kids go to birthday parties, there's prizes for the games. There's a craft usually being done that kids have done when they first enter the party. There's lots of stuff going on there that the kids can take home, so they're not empty-handed.
Yeah.
One of the best ways to cut costs is to cut the goodie.
Goodie bags seem to be a way people have of showing off a little bit.
It can be.
Yeah, they'll overdo the goodie bag, and then.
But you don't need to do them at all, actually. The other way to
well,
cut
wait
costs
a minute.
Is
that really true, or will you be seen as a total utter cheapskate if you don't do the?
Well, but if these little guests go away with their craft in hand and some prizes from the games, they've got stuff to
That's
go away
a goodie
with.
Bag. Yeah.
They've got stuff. They're not going home empty-handed. I'm not saying don't let the kids go home empty-handed, but they're not going to.
Yeah, we did. We did a book exchange a few years ago.
That was
so
the
they
best
brought
party.
A book instead of a gift.
Great.
And then they went home with a book.
Mm-hmm.
So that.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on the venue question? Because, we did, after a while, we just got sick of kids trashing our house.
Yep.
So we started doing it in the park because we were across the street from a park, and that was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they got older, we'd go to the
paintball.
laser tag place.
Oh, right.
That was always, and then that's easy. You don't really have to give them much of a goodie bag. You just give them some quarters. They come.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, Campground of America, as they get older. I don't think we had a party in our home in a long time.
No wonder your house is so neat.
Oh, you haven't been to our house. So
party venues are perfect if you don't really have the time to clean it all your whole house up, get it all prepared. And then be into the whole entertaining of all these people, plus doing the cleanup on the other end.
Right.
That's an awful lot of work. If you don't have the time to do that, then take it out to a party venue. Like you said, the park is easy.
Right.
But also, there's Pump It Up. There's, Chuck E. Cheese, of course. Everyone knows that one. There's rock climbing centers. There's bowling alleys. There's something that's going to match probably your kids' interest.
We've
and
got
if it's
our...
one of those years you don't have that time or energy, then do it.
We have those Malibu Raceway places, and those are great. And they're all set up to do parties. I mean, they have a party room.
Mm-hmm.
They have, crappy food. They have bored and irate teenagers who will serve your kids with, with real rancor. It's great. It's so much fun for everyone, I think. Here's your plate,
but
kids.
You'll often find kids saying, oh, they love their home-based parties the best.
Yeah, of course they
do.
So,
throw in a few of those as well.
Yeah, of course they do. They want to show off their home.
Or it's more creative.
Especially if they're little.
Mm-hmm.
We did a party when we had the farm, the two-acre farm, we did a party. Where we had a chicken coop. It was there were no more chickens in it. The chickens were gone, and we started there. And then we gave Jennifer's very good at this. She gave each kid a magical assignment of a task to do, and then the last one was teach the goats a new trick. And all the kids ran out to the. I'll never forget this. It was such a success. All the kids ran out to the goats, and they eventually had them going around in a circle. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a great party. I'll never forget that. Yeah. But that's, again, that's where probably the most important thing is your creativity, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, but you know what? We took a survey. Peppers and Pollywogs actually took a survey of parents saying, what do you spend your most time doing when you're planning your kids' parties? And it's thinking up those activities and games and what to do with the kids. That, it's not usually getting the party menu or the invitations or all this. It's thinking about what are those games and activities. It's hard to be creative like that, you know? So, that's why on a lot of those articles I've written on my site give a lot of ideas about what to do. So that just reduces parents' party planning time significantly.
I think that's a really nice idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So my oldest is 5, and I have 3-year-old twins. When do I have to stop going to the birthday parties?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. I think that under the age of 6 and under, parents you're going to expect to go to those parties. You're going to expect to have parents at your kids' parties.
Okay.
But after that, the kids can go on their own when they're 7 and older.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's something, something particular to your child that they need you there, which is perfectly understandable. Majority of times you can let your kids go to the party on their own, and you can expect that the parents aren't going to be staying at your parties either.
So is there a polite way of saying to your 6-year-old kids, on the invitation, parents, please come so I'm not stuck with 15 6-year-olds by myself?
Oh, because you're feeling that they're not going to come. you can say, you can just write in your invitation, parents, are welcome to stay at this party. And also on your RSVP, when they RSVP to you, have that conversation as well and say, we're looking forward to seeing you and having you at our party.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I was going to say as far as, kind of things that parents can do to prepare for their parties, line up your help. you know, before the party. Don't expect that the parents who are staying at the party are going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are sorely disappointed when they just want to hang out and watch the action.
Yeah.
But don't do much. You really need to, like, when those people call and say, oh, yeah, I'll be staying. Oh, well, we can give them a job to do. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, will you help cut the cake? Can you help run this game? And then they'll have the expectation when they come to your party to help.
Right.
Yeah. So that's really important. And if they're over the age of six, and you're wondering how you're going to get the parents not to stay, put a pickup and a drop-off time on the invitation. That will help.
That's
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't imagine going an invitation without a drop, a pickup and a drop-off and get rid of time. This party is over at 4, and we're leaving for Reno at 4:10, so make sure you're here.
Well, that's another question that I got in my book, actually, which is, you know, parents not picking up their kids on time from parties, you know, just like keeping their kids there an extra hour. And then this mother had, you know, the host parent had something they had to go to do. And it was a really awkward situation. So how do you get people to pick them up on time?
Yeah.
You know, another issue.
Well, everybody should go to, what is it? Polyps and
Peppers and Pollywogs.
Peppers and Lollipogs. I'm so sorry.
Here's another question for you. How do you get dads involved in planning the birthday party so they care?
Yeah. They're getting more and more involved, I think.
You just say there'll be a big screen TV and football and beer, and dads, you're invited, and they'll show up. No, I really enjoy, I have to say, that some of my best memories, now that I think of it, are fun birthday parties that we did.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of fun. And if you're a computer geek, as many of our listeners are, there's lots of opportunities for dads to get involved doing invitations.
Yep.
You know, doing treasure hunts. There's lots of things you can think of that'd be.
There's
a
lot
of fun.
And the internet's a wonderful source of lots of different things you can find out there. Just finding it, but
I do my little Buster the Clown outfit, and it really goes over really big.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
It's really good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Lisa Kattari, pepperspollywogs.com.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to show you. You want to see? This is an invitation that I did. I'm very proud of this, actually. I just found this. I did for Abby when she was six, her sixth birthday. And this is an example of how the geeks can get involved, right? The geek dads get involved. When I was one, I had just begun. This is, isn't that Winnie the Pooh or Christopher Robin? When I was two, I was nearly new. When I was three, I was hardly me. When I was four, I was not much more. When I was five, I was just alive. But now I am six. I'm as clever as clever. And I think I'll be six forever and ever.
That's so cute. And the picture on the birthday invitation 10 years ago, that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's easy.
That was probably pretty sophisticated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to think of it. It's A.A. Milne. It's from Christopher Robin. And there's a picture of Abby in a party dress.
It's so cute. I'm totally stealing that.
Can you
email
that
to me? I'll just take her picture out and
put Annabella in there. When is Annabella's next birthday or sixth?
Yeah, next April.
Oh, that's what sometimes blows me away is when I realize, you know, I mean, that seems like recent history to me.
Yeah.
That's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And but you notice I saved it for my whole entire life on my computer.
So cute.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, my mother-in-law recently said that her last birthday party was a success because no one cried. Because the birthday girl didn't cry. Actually, there were people that cried, but
it was all adults?
No.
It was all adults.
Oh, it was, you know, kids. It was, but...
No, that's. Yeah, I think that's actually a very good measure.
When the birthday girl or boy doesn't cry, it's a success.
Yeah, and I guess at past a certain age, they stop crying. And then, and funny, it starts again on my 40th birthday. I was bawling. Like a baby. I couldn't take it.
Yeah. All right. So now we get to the spend, save, give part of the program. One thing to spend your money on, one way to save money, and one way to give back or donate.
I have to say, I'm really enjoying this spend right here.
Safety chat?
Just even the name.
The name is the best part of it.
All.
Safety chat. But they're very cool. Like, we've talked about, you know, easy ways you can do this by, perhaps if you're going to Disneyland or going to some crowd and your
child
doesn't
know
their phone number.
You're not talking a permanent tattoo.
No, not a although I would like to permanently tattoo my phone number on my child's arm.
It's pretty tempting, but the problem is the phone number changes.
Yeah, so that is true.
It's not gonna work forever.
You can remove. But these are temporary tattoos. You choose a tattoo design, and they have a lot of designs. Like, they have a design if your child has autism or is nonverbal or something like that. Then that actually says it on there, and you enter your phone number, and then you submit it, and you get 30 tattoos for $19.95. What I was going to say earlier, we've talked about just using a Sharpie to write your child's name.
This is more, a little bit more attractive.
Yeah, more attractive. Not, and, yeah. But, you know, some.
So what you're doing is more like a prison tat.
Yeah. Kids love tattoos. They might not like so much if you're writing on them. But, yeah, a prison tat.
Come here. I got a ballpoint pen and a needle. I'd like to put a phone number in you. Now, this is very clever. I think
it
this
is
a really
yeah.
good-looking idea. It's, and 30 of them for $20 is not expensive. I would do this if I had kids. Actually, maybe I should do this. Maybe I should just put this on Henry. Hey, Henry, I got a tat for
just
you.
Just put your phone over. Like, you know, those, how's my driving kind of? How's my teenagering?
That's a good idea. If you got a problem with me, call my parents.
Yeah.
They should do. Now, see, these are all really designed for littler kids. They should do something that's
a
little bit
teenager,
more.
Yeah.
More teenagery.
Yeah.
If lost, please call. I have a nut allergy.
Well, that's good, too. Yeah.
Especially if they're nonverbal.
If they're nonverbal, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Please call my school.
Mm-hmm.
If lost, please call. I put that on my cell phone. Can you tattoo a cell phone?
I don't know. You should put it on yourself, you know,
just
in case you forget.
I'm a space cadet. If found, please return me to Twit Live.
So
thank
you. Safetytat.com.
Yes.
I do like the name. Okay, now we've got to the save. Have you heard of Geek Crafts?
Geek Crafts?
No. Geekcrafts.com.
No. Is this like an Etsy kind of thing?
Kind of, but it's all like, it's like Futurama cross stitch.
Mr. T.
I don't know that Mr. T is so geeky, but I guess it is.
Oh, are you kidding? I pity the fool who doesn't think Mr. T is geeky.
So they're not crafts like modding your PC, but more like, you know, the cross stitch and knitting. And the way I found this was I was actually for Father's Day. How was your Father's Day, by the way? Father's Day last Sunday?
It was fabulous.
Great.
That's just mean because I believe you when you say things like that.
Did everyone miss Father's
Day?
We're
recording this show a week early,
yeah, so
I haven't had my Father's Day.
No, you haven't. And
you got me all like, oh no, they forgot my Father's Day.
You know that wouldn't happen. You were still getting nervous. Like, did you say Mother's Day? Did I forget Mother's Day? Was there another holiday?
Is Mother's Day coming soon? Any minute now?
Valentine's Day. I'm making Marco a Battlestar Galactica t-shirt that says Best Frackin' Dad in the 12 Colonies. I wanted to just find it on the internet, but it wasn't already made, so I have to make it myself.
I have to give, that reminds me, and I'm sorry to interrupt the podcast like this, but I have to give you back.
My Battlestar Galactica DVDs? Galactica. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, that's me.
But they also have you haven't gotten to the Starbucks mandala part yet. Thank you. Because you gave up early, didn't you?
No, I think I watched the whole thing.
Okay, but you haven't seen any of the current episodes?
That's just the first season I'm giving you.
Oh, okay.
So I have the second. No, Tony, our editor, gave me the second season. I have it right here. And so, but how many seasons have there been?
This is the fourth and last season, I believe.
And last?
Yeah.
See, I hate starting a show when I know it's going to end.
Why? Then you know it's not going to jump the shark and get bad.
Actually, that's an excellent point.
Yeah,
that's
and then they have an idea, you know, an end. I hate shows that just sort of end and, you know.
Let's make some money. What do you say?
Yes, but we are talking about Audible Kids, not audible.com, which is different.
Let me change the CG.
I had an Audible pick, but you just save that. My new Audible pick, which I emailed you also, is The One and Only Shrek and Other Stories by William Steig.
William Steig is so great.
He is great. This has Dr. DeSoto on it.
Yeah. And he was a dentist. He's like a mouse dentist,
yes.
right?
Yeah, what kind of... He was a mouse because then
animal.
He ends up fixing the teeth of a wolf and gluing them together.
Oh.
I don't want to give you the ending. No spoilers
I
here.
Love
no Dr. DeSoto spoilers.
But that, you know, William Steig was a New Yorker cartoonist and did such great cartoons and illustrations. And I think some of the best kids' books ever.
Yeah. Sylvester and the Magic Pebble is one of my favorites, actually isn't on this collection. But you can find this at Audible Kids. And Audible Kids is a site where you can download books for kids, audiobooks. And they're pretty inexpensive, $9.95, but you can get one free.
Free?
Free. A free book.
How would I do that, Megan
Go
Maroney?
To audiblekids.com or kids.audible.com, your choice, /monkeys.
I didn't know that. You can go to kids.audible.com?
You can go to kids.audible.com. I think, actually, audiblekids.com... goes to kids.audible.com.
I had no
forwards,
idea.
If you will. Either one. /monkeys, audiblekids.com/monkeys.
What do we get when we go there?
A free book.
Damn!
That's good.
Hopefully your kids aren't listening.
Darn!
To this right now. Frack!
Frack! Frack, that's good.
The One and Only Shrek. Can we listen to some of it? It's so good. I forgot who's reading it. Meryl Streep is reading
the
part
Meryl
of it.
Streep is reading
yes.
it? Oh, let's
not
listen.
The, yeah, she might not be reading the first story.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And see what goes.
My boys love this. They're three, by the way.
Audio Renaissance presents The One and Only Shrek by William Steig. Read for you by Meryl Streep and Stanley Tucci.
Oh, Stanley Tucci.
I love him.
Yeah.
Shrek. His mother was ugly, and his father was ugly. But Shrek was uglier than the two of them put together. By the time he toddled, Shrek could spit flame a full 99 yards and vent smoke from either ear. With just a look, he cowed the reptiles in the swamp. Any snake dumb enough to bite him instantly got convulsions and died.
See, this is, I think that's better than, better than the Disney version.
Oh, yeah, it is. One warning, though, there is the line, I think, jabbering jackass or something like that, really loudly. And my boys so far have listened to this several times, and they have not repeated that at the playground.
But you know they're going to do that.
They may.
You're a jabbering jackass!
And
well,
it's like,
you.
I'm just trying to improve their literacy by having them listen to audiobooks.
You know, that's the problem with literature. It introduces new ideas into little minds.
It does, doesn't it?
We don't want that.
Yes.
That's a bad
thing. We should
thing.
Stop recommending books.
Yes. Make them watch more TV.
Anyway, I love Audible Kids. It's an excellent site. There's a lot of stuff for 99 cents, really cheap. And I often, because a lot of kids' books are really short, so I'll, you know, spend five
that's
bucks
okay.
and you get a whole CD. And
kids are short, so it works yeah. out really well.
Yeah. And there's even free stuff. I downloaded The Gift of the Magi for free, and my kids have listened to that several times.
Yeah, they've done a nice job of putting in like recommendations. They've got at the bottom from Reading is Fundamental a bunch of free books. I think this is I commend Audible for doing this. I think it's a really nice idea. It's I think some parents maybe go, oh, what audiobooks for my kids? But it really you're the perfect testament of this. Mm-hmm. It really works for you.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, Audible. Well, I guess we'll do kids.audible.com/monkeys.
Yes.
Kids.audible.com/monkeys. We do thank Audible so much for their support. We commend you, Audible, for your enlightened attitude towards children and swearing. No, that's not right.
Well, he's talking to the donkey when he says jackass.
Donkey is jackass.
Right.
So is the donkey, I mean, it sounds very different from the original,
it's
from the
movie.
It's
pretty different, yeah. Yeah.
Eddie Murphy's not in this book.
No. It's a pretty short story, so
right.
they had to
elaborate it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to listen to that. I love Dr. DeSoto.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. So I have one more link before we get to the listener feedback. Sandra Day O'Connor just announced a new website to teach middle schoolers civics. It's at rquartz.com.
That's neat.
And yeah, it's pretty neat. And it's very, they just announced it recently. So there's already a lot of stuff on there. A lot of this educators and, you know, she was obviously pretty involved in this because she just felt like we need to teach kids about how to be citizens. And so this is the way they're doing it with those animated people.
Did you grow up with, I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Play with Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That was before, after my time.
Yes. I mean, I think it was reruns when I saw it, but it was definitely on Saturday mornings.
I think a lot of kids got their civics
yeah.
from that particular
yeah.
one.
That reminds me. I think someone told me recently you can get all those Schoolhouse Rocks on a DVD at Costco.
I have no nostalgia for that whatsoever.
Oh, you don't?
Well, it didn't do anything. It was like, you know, it was
well,
not my generation.
Yeah. But you have a sixth,
well,
seventh, or eighth
grader. I learned from Ben Franklin.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You probably learned from your civics class.
Do they even teach civics anymore?
I don't think so. No,
that was a required class.
Yeah. So that is kind of what this site is for. So I don't know. Check it out if you're a teacher or if you have sixth, seventh, and eighth graders.
I'd like to. My daughter is a ninth grader, but I think she's very interested in this.
Your daughter is not a ninth grader.
She's going to be... she is a 10th grader, and she's going to be an 11th grader. So this is probably a little young for her.
That's like the other day someone asked me how old I was, and I said 33. No, I'm 34. No, I'm 35. Totally forgotten. You also forgotten how old your children
you,
are.
This is you blank out the things yeah. that pain you the most. And that's one of the big pains. She's going to be a junior.
Is Henry going to be a freshman? Or no, he's going to be an 8th grader.
He's going to be an 8th grader.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's interesting. You notice that I mentioned Abby. I mm-hmm. didn't mention Henry at all.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think I can get Henry to sit down and do this.
To ourcourts.com?
Yeah.
And learn about the legislative branch and the...
I think this is cool.
It is.
Are these animated kids coming back?
I think they're just in the beginning of the site.
So it's actually very text heavy at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. I think they spent the whole budget on the front page.
On those kids, yeah.
Yeah. You can't even get...
But it does say on the beginning, you know, come back when we've got more stuff.
Come back when we got more animated kids. Wow, that's it, huh? That's
well, there's
it.
A
so
lot.
So these kids are standing here.
They stand in the front, yeah.
And that's
They're
it.
Waiting for you. Maybe they're waiting for you to teach them about physics, civics.
This one says something. This one just stands there. Looks
the,
cute.
The rest of them don't say something?
No, just one.
Oh, what does she say?
It's like they're still working on the thought balloons for the rest of them. She says... Thanks for stopping by the Our Courts website. There's a lot to learn here, so go ahead and explore. And she's got a little hand, but when you click it, nothing happens. You know what? I gotta tell you, I think they didn't finish this.
They like, might have finished it before they had an article in New York Times about it, but...
That's kind of odd.
Yeah.
Okay, let's... Okay, that
it
was,
does have a lot of... you're right, it's text-heavy. It's got definitions and, you know, other information.
It's going on and on and on and on.
You could totally cut and paste that into your paper and it'd be awesome. Just kidding.
That's what it's for, kids.
No, that's plagiarism.
Free material for your civics class. Oh, too bad you don't have one anymore.
Right, yeah.
See, if you only had a civics class, this would be such a great resource.
All right, so let's move on to the listener feedback.
It can't get any worse.
I have an email from Jeff while you're looking in our voicemail machine. Remember, you can call us. Our phone number is
707-981-4602. See, it's right
there
on the
it
screen.
Is. That's so helpful.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
See, now you understand, the whole idea of television, it's not for the viewer at
it's
home.
It's for the, yeah.
It's for the host who
exactly.
can't figure out what the hell's going on. I'll never forget when I do Regis and Kelly, they print a card with your name on it. They hold it right next to the camera so that Regis can look sincerely into the camera and say, thank you for joining us. Leo Laporte. That's just like... So now I've made us a little, for those watching at home, at twitlive.tv.
That's
by the way,
great.
We do this live every Thursday at 1:30 in the afternoon, 4:30 Pacific, 20:30 UTC. I've got a little thing here.
Right.
So now when I need to know the number, I press the button and up it comes 1-707-981-4602.
I like how you were making fun of Regis when you called our guest site... What did you call it? Popeyes and Pepperwogs?
Pepperwogs.
That's what I need. I need a little sign for you.
I didn't
you
have the CG
says,
up yet. If I'd only had the sign, I would have known the name.
Yeah. Okay, here's an email from Jeff. He writes, you guys had on a great guest who was talking about archiving and digital memories, etc. I really think this topic could be a full podcast. If you couldn't talk her
into
doing
it. Oh, she was the archivist.
Yeah, archivist Allison. There are so many parts of our growing families that we want to keep for our grandchildren and beyond to help them remember. With the advent of digital technologies, I think everyone struggles with this. And I've actually been in touch with Allison because I wanted to have her, you know, come on and do a little, you know, how we have Jeremiah on, just come on and give us a little
five minutes.
Unfortunately, she works on the afternoons when, Thursday afternoons when we record, but she is working on maybe recording something and sending it to us.
That would be really useful. And I used that conversation we've had with her several times on the radio show because it actually comes up a lot now. People are saying, okay, fine, I've digitized this. Now what? I mean, how do I keep this so that I can always use it and mm-hmm. stuff like that? I think mm-hmm. these are very relevant things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what was her name again?
Allison. Archivist Allison.
She doesn't have a website.
Langmead. No, Langmead was her last name, but she doesn't have a website yet. But she might soon.
You know, I was all excited about all these calls from our Grand Central number, and they're all 1 second long. Here, let's play one. Maybe people get shy. You think they're getting shy?
I don't know.
Here's one that's a little longer, 17 seconds.
Hi, this is Anthony in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Anthony.
I was calling to ask, My first child is being born on August 13th. I just wanted to know, were there any good podcasts for first-time dads? Thank you.
That's a good question, actually. Mm-hmm. Good. First of all, congratulations, Anthony.
Yeah.
I don't know if you feel this way. You're still a pretty new parent. But whenever I meet somebody who's about to be a parent, I say, you're about to enter the hardest thing you've ever done, mm-hmm. and yet the most rewarding thing you've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
It was harder for you than you imagined.
Me?
Yeah.
It was. It's harder for everyone than
I guess it is.
I imagine.
You don't really want to, what you really, if you were really brutally honest, you'd go, oh God, I'm so sorry. But honestly, after the first couple of years, it's only like mind-numbingly horrible. And the truth is, it's really great until they're teenagers. Then it gets to be very, very difficult. But I hear when they're adults, it's really, really wonderful. No, I wouldn't say that. Anthony, here's what I would say. This is absolutely the honest truth. It is harder work than you imagine.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much more rewarding than you imagine. Here's the thing that I think for any parent is really scary. You love your kids more than you thought you could love anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel very vulnerable because of that, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Because, I mean, your whole heart is on the line here.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tough. So kids podcasts. Any thoughts on that?
For first time parents. I think this one's great.
Well, certainly you get a perspective from somebody who's a parent of teenagers and young children.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of... There was a guy that used to do a podcast, a bunch of guys. I forgot. It was something with diaper.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of things. Pediacast, he was on last
week. Yes, yeah.
That's the pediatric doctor. And mm-hmm. I think especially when you're a first-time parent, you have a lot of pediatric questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
Is that weird? Should their poop look like that? Stuff like that. Now, I wish there should be a, like, grandma cast where mm-hmm. grandma, because that's what you would do is you'd call your mom and you go,
right.
Mom, is this right? You're so lucky your mom is right here.
Yes, that's true.
She's very helpful. I'm looking on a site called MeFedia that it says this is a first-time parents podcast. I don't know.
Someone's suggesting the Happiest Baby on the Block book, which
I have not read,
but I've heard good things.
Okay, Happiest Baby.
Daddy Types is a great website. That's just daddytypes.com. And Mike Adamic.
It's a video, by the way. Happiest Baby is a video.
Oh, it's a video? Yeah. Oh, maybe not Happiest Baby on the Block is a book I'm thinking of.
Okay. So that's one, and then there's a video, Happiest Baby.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in the chat room saying, I thought this Toot Live thing was going to be cool, and all Leo's doing is sitting here talking about poop.
That's true.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
The poop and the San Francisco Chronicle. It's the blog in the San Francisco Chronicle. Mike Adamic writes for them, and it's good. But
we've talked to, one of the things this podcast is good for is finding other parenting podcasts and resources.
Yeah.
So we've talked to a lot of people. Go through our old shows. I think there's a lot of stuff we're probably even forgetting that we've done.
Yeah, but I don't. The Dad Labs.
Dad Labs, of course.
Yeah, that's a great podcast. Dad Labs.
Congratulations, Anthony.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
All right. Matt asks, I love the Twit podcasts, and I just bought a TomTom GPS.
Yay.
This does a great job of handling audiobooks in the AA format. It saves my place when I come back and is great.
That's the Audible format. Yeah.
However, I cannot do this with an MP3. Is there a way to convert your podcast to AA? I have tried M4B, and this also does not work.
Yeah. So here's the deal. They figure, what device is he playing it back on?
TomTom.
See, I don't know about a TomTom. I can tell you about an iPod. But the assumption probably all MP3 players make is if you're listening to music, you want it to start at the beginning every time. You don't want to come back to the song where you left off. So just a standard MP3 that's not bookmarkable. On iPods, well, first of all, the AA format is by default bookmarkable. It's a form of MP3, but it's proprietary. It has copy protection in it, so that's why AA can do that. On an iPod, you can make any file bookmarkable. So I don't know how the TomTom does it, but if you're on the iPod, if you get the info about the song that you're listening to or the book or whatever, you get the properties for it. You do, get info on it. You'll see one of the properties you can say is make bookmarkable. And at that point, it'll remember, remember where I left off? Maybe that's what it's called. But at that point, it will remember where you stopped listening to it. And then you can always go back and listen again. So that's an iPod. I don't know how you do it on a TomTom. You'll have to look at the TomTom documentation.
Yeah.
No, that's a real, for spoken word, whether it's podcasts, books, you really need that. You don't want to start over or it's a pain to fast forward all the way through. And some MP3 players don't do that.
Yeah.
But I think that's a must have. You know, you got to have that.
Right. Well, I think that's all the time that we have, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, I have a message from Russell that we can read next week, and another email from Shelby that I'll read next week. And next week, we're going to be talking to Ridley Pearson, who's a thriller writer and also a young adult thriller writer.
Cool.
And he wrote a prequel to Peter Pan with Dave Barry, humorist Dave Barry. So
that'll be fun.
That's what we're going to be doing next
week.
That'll
be really fun.
Yeah.
And you can email Megan at megan@twit.tv.
Mm-hmm, you can.
Or you can call us at that number, 707-981-4602. We love having you on the show. Here, by the way, I'll just show you real quickly for those of you watching at home. This is the iPods. The iTunes interface. And if you go to options under the get info, remember playback position. And you can do that on any audio file. But that's an iPod. That's not
TomTom.
That's not a TomTom.
If anybody knows, you can write Megan at twit.tv and we will talk about that next week.
We'd love to hear from you. Next time
on Jumping Monkey.
Bye.